The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Throwhook is a police sergeant. What on Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotype you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Our caller has dropped off. You three gentlemen are now competing against one another. And today, you have your choice of one of three categories. We have bite me. In other words, what did someone find in the food? Interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. And finally today, license to spill, where you guess the substance responsible for creating the mess.
Spill.
All right. We go to the state of Wisconsin, where state patrol says traffic on Interstate in Janesville got backed up for hours last Thursday after a truck hit the brakes and then spilled its cargo all over the highway. So the truck's driver was trying to avoid rear-ending a box truck that had a snapped axle and was disabled in the south lanes. So they slammed on the brakes. Whatever the cargo was comes flying over the top of it. A responding officer said the truck did not crash. Nobody got injured, but the truck's load weight shifted during the sudden extreme braking. That's what created the force needed to catapult the cargo all over the road. The question we have is, what was the truck hauling? And then spilling. Was it sewage? Was it asphalt? Was it paint? Or was it animal parts? Sewage, asphalt, paint, or animal parts?
I'm hedging my bets on this one. I think it's sewage.
Think it's sewage?
I think there's nasty people water everywhere.
Yeah, I just feel like sewage.
People water.
Generally in like an enclosed tank.
I'm going to go with paint because I just think that would be the biggest pain in the ass to clean up.
Yeah.
Every day we see a truck drive by here that has full of carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
Animal parts.
Animal parts.
What did the truck spill over the road in Wisconsin? Let's see here. Sewage, asphalt, paint, or animal parts? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
Categories licensed to spill on Profile This. We had a Wisconsin where a truck driver had to hit the brakes because a box truck in front of him lost an axle or whatever the deal was. So he hit his brakes, and just by the way the truck shifted, it spilled its cargo. He did not wreck his truck, but either way, it put it out all over the road and shut it down. Question is, what did he spill all over the highway there? Sewage, asphalt, paint, or animal parts?
Yeah, that's a question I asked you guys, and you guys gave a different answer. So we'll start with you, Miles. You went with paint, you're right. Pain in the ass to clean up, however, not the correct answer. Mike Hawk, you went with sewage.
Yes,
what did you call it? Dirty people water or something like that?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Nasty people water.
It was not nasty people water. The Ted Smith, based on the fact that we have the carcass truck that goes up and down five every day. You went with animal parts. And you are correct.
I just feel like all the other ones would be in an enclosed truck.
I would think animal parts would be, but it's not. And the thing is, according to the article, it's various animals. Like a reporter asked the cop to bring, what kind of animals? He's like, animals. Plural. Mm-hmm. You name it. It was in the truck.
Dead ones.
It's on the highway. Yeah, dead ones.
Could have just said hot dogs.
Now for all the TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
So obviously with the World Cup going on, a lot of different people from different countries and cultures have been enjoying the United States of America. You think they watched any TV while they were here?
Probably. I think they're probably partying too hard and enjoying the city. That's my guess.
Good point.
You know, if I don't know. This is taking place in France. We decide to go check out the World Cup in France. I'm sure there's great TV shows, but it's like, man, either I'm partying or I'm sleeping off the party. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think.
And when I've traveled to other countries, like, the TV's just so weird. Like, I'll definitely hop on, like, when we were in Germany, I wanted to check, like, college football scores.
Yeah.
But, like.
We couldn't.
So I just, like, hopped online when I went to sleep and looked up, like, the, if I remember, because the Huskies beat the Ducks. But it was, like, 3 a.m.
But also, I think a lot of U.S. TV shows.
That's probably our greatest.
Ship well.
Yeah.
So a lot of the shows we have here. They already know them.
They've Netflix, you can get it anywhere.
You know, it's a good point.
So, well, I will say this. Yeah, the most entertaining TV I do watch is late at night in a different kind of... Yeah. Laying in bed, turn TV on for a minute, just flip around and be like, wow, they're showing that. Wish we had that. Or those.
Yeah, and I guess Canada and Mexico maybe are different. I've never been to either one of those. But, like, even in London, like, there was a TV. But I couldn't figure out what the hell the stations were.
Yeah, I never turned it on.
And I was just like, I don't know, is there Sky Sports? Like, I'm just looking for a sports center.
Well, so even going to Mexico and Canada is kind of a letdown just because it's not that exotic as far as we go, right? So you go to Mexico, I don't speak Spanish, but they have satellite TVs. So for whatever, we always go at Christmas. So NFL football's on. I'm not going to miss, even if you go to a bar there, they put it on in English. They don't do like Telemundo or anything. And when you go to Canada, what's funny about Canada is a lot of U.S. shows, right? They put them on their own networks. But there are some Canadian TV shows that you didn't realize that were Canadian that we have in syndication here, but they're on later at night. So you turn like, why do I know this show? And it's 8 o'clock prime time. And you're like, oh, God, I didn't realize it was Canadian.
I've also been to some countries in the Caribbean, and I think they cater to Americans. But
yeah,
one channel in particular would show a different local news channel every single night. So it'd be like Philly, NBC one night.
Right.
Next would be New York. And I'm watching at one point in time, and somebody I knew from Baltimore was on. I'm like, I cannot believe I'm sitting here.
Watching
this person do weather, you know, that I know. It was just, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, I had a friend that was at some beach resort town in Mexico, and he just texted me. He's like, this will sound odd, but I'm watching your Seattle Sounders.
Yeah.
Right, because they were like on Fox Sports or something. I was like, all right. But TV shows, definitely one of the big American exports in Hollywood. So this is a list of, they say, the top TV shows that define the American experience.
Now, is this based on those of us that live here and go, yeah, that's pretty accurate, or as people perceive it around the world?
It's just here. It's celebrating America's 250. So these shows that help shape pop culture, reflect everyday American life, and define generations of viewers.
All right.
So we'll start at the bottom. We'll see how many of these we've watched. I highlighted all the ones I've watched. This one is super new. Everybody keeps talking about it. Doctor Show, real life.
Oh, The Pit.
The Pit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone I know that watches it recommends it to me and my wife. We have not watched it. I'm sure it's good. I just want something different. I know it's a hospital drama. I'm sure it's done very well. But I'm like, I've seen a million hospital dramas.
Well, this one, though, is real life. It's just in that hospital emergency room over 24 hours.
Right. No, I get it. I like the premise. Noah Wiley, I like him as an actor. It's fine.
But what I'm saying, though, it's not a drama. It's just, it's in this hospital. So there's no actors. They're just doctors and nurses.
Wait, The Pit was the Noah Wiley show. So this is an unscripted show.
Oh, am I wrong?
I thought The Pit was a scripted show with Noah Wiley.
It is.
Oh, I was under the impression it was just a hospital in Pittsburgh taking you through 24 hours a day in the
it's a scripted show, and apparently it's very, very accurate and all this.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't work in the
ER. I think it's
supposed
to be a Presbyterian hospital.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Damn. I was way off on that.
I was like, seriously,
you're like, no, why? I'm like, no, man, he's just regular doctors.
Or maybe he's a real doctor now.
He's been on two shows.
He was on ER.
More than we do.
Yeah.
The next one, I never watched. A lot of people in here did. Walking Dead?
Yep.
I didn't watch that.
Oh.
How does that reflect what it's like to be in the country right now, Mike? If somebody watched the show, I mean, they're zombies and they're survivalists.
America.
Yes, it is in the U.S., but I'm like, what?
Maybe that's all
maybe
it is.
Third Avenue in Seattle. Yeah.
But I think that show, kind of with the next one on the list, kind of shaped like a lot of pop culture.
Right. Pop culture.
You know what I mean? Like, I see people all the time at Halloween with baseball bats and barbed wire. Like, I fathom where that's from.
Sure.
See, to me, it's moonshiners. Depends on where you grew up.
Yeah.
2007 to 2021. Keep it up with the Kardashians.
I mean, that's not realistic, but it's part of life in America if you're rich.
It definitely shaped pop culture.
Correct.
The fact that it was on that long tells you that.
American Idol makes the list?
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then we'll get into some more. Now, this is where all the heavy hitters come that I used to watch. Top TV shows that define the American experience. Friends.
100%.
Yeah.
There's people that learned English because of Friends.
Yeah,
you know, I've heard that.
That is probably one of, if not the greatest American show to come out of this country.
And I always say, Friends, I don't rewatch it like I can a Seinfeld episode,
mm-hmm.
But it shocks me how many young people are like, oh, no, I watched it on Netflix.
They're really into it now.
Like, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, look, good for them. They're making bank off of the repeat.
Just don't expect to have that kind of an apartment in New York City.
Yeah. No kidding.
Let's see. This one reminds me of being home, sick from school. Not Price is Right.
General Hospital.
Maury.
Jerry Springer.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's who we are.
Yeah. That's exactly
right. I mean, it's representative of who we are as a nation. So, yeah.
My wife and I just watched it was all the talk shows back then. It was like Dark Side of the 90s or eight, whatever, one of those.
Oh, yeah, Vice. That's a good show.
But it's a great show. But they were doing the talk shows. And at first, I didn't want to watch it. But look, they didn't touch Oprah. They're like, look, Oprah's
going to Maury and stuff like that.
It was Maury. It was Jerry Springer. But when they're showing the clips from the show, I mean, it did feel nostalgic. So I looked at my wife and I said, look, like pre 9/11, when we truly did not believe we had any existential threats in this country, we just threw down and had fun, man. And Jerry Springer is almost like
I had a buddy that was on it twice.
Yeah, playing different people.
Yeah, he played two different people.
Oh, they talked to a bunch of the actors that went on the show. They were like, yeah, man. Because they would come up with the producers would come up with a scenario that they go, no one on earth is like, have you ever made love to a fish while your wife watched it? Like, no. But people would sign up and say, hey, I'll play the guy. But the audience didn't know. And somehow, you know, the wife would come out, you're sleeping with the fish. The fight. So we were riveted. And I'm like, this is so stupid, but I love this. I almost wish we could go back to that.
Yeah. Jerry was a big deal. The Simpsons.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
My favorite show, Seinfeld.
Yep.
Again, it's not realistic. He's a professional comedian and everything else. But it's just like, it's just such a part of Americana.
It is.
I mean, people that don't, I say this all the time, people that don't watch or haven't watched Seinfeld don't even realize they use terms from Seinfeld.
My kid says yada, 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 and he says dough from The Simpsons. There's no idea that's where they came from. I know it. I don't bother to tell him because it's just part of what people do now.
Yeah, it's like we used to have the Subway Nazi.
Yes. Right?
From the Soup Nazi.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
I wouldn't order that. Again, downfall because of the actor, but a great show. We talked about it last week. The Cosby Show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Like we were saying, like he was like America. He was everybody's dad.
Yeah.
Keith Huxtable was.
Was it Keith? Cliff.
Cliff Huxtable.
Keith Huxtable.
Keith Huxtable.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't
like people named Keith for 100. Yeah. Alex?
Yeah. Keith Huxtable.
Keith Huxtable. Don't mess with Keith.
Yeah.
Huxtable?
Yeah, for Keith.
Keith.
All right. I'm really racking my brain right now trying to think of a black person named Keith.
I went to high school.
Keith David.
Keith Bogans.
Who?
Keith David. Great. He's a great voice.
You don't know who he is, but you do.
I went to high school with Keith Bogans, played in Kentucky, played in the NBA for like 12 or 14 years.
Okay.
Come on, man. There's Black Keith.
I'm trying to think. Like, this is how I work my brain.
Black Keith over here?
No, this is how I work my brain. I'm trying to
David
think.
David Miles.
Check the YouTube comments or the text line. I'm sure there's like a bunch of Keith, Black Keiths we're not even thinking about.
Black Keiths, anybody?
Yeah, nothing so far.
Yeah, they're not coming in yet.
We named the two. One I knew personally.
Everyone's like, oh,
I'm thinking baseball. I'm thinking all these different sports.
There's got to be a wide receiver named Keith.
No.
All right. Saturday Night Live makes the list of the top TV shows to define the American experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and look, I'm an unabashed SNL lover. I still watch it all the time. The only big issue I have with SNL sometimes is like last weekend. I was just sitting at home watching soccer. It was a quiet Saturday, and I was like, man, I kind of wish SNL was on.
Yeah.
Weekend Update keeps you up to date on what's going on at least that week.
Yep.
So, you know, get an idea of what the top stories are, whatever they're making fun of.
Keith Sweat!
There we go! Keith Sweat!
Mike was sitting on that one. He didn't have to do research or nothing.
Keith Sweat!
Yeah, you don't know any Black Keiths.
Now you do.
Keith Sweat.
Now you do.
Saturday Night Live 2 also for me. I like the musical guest. Yeah. There is sometimes, I mean, that's actually how I started liking One Direction.
Really?
I didn't even know that band. Then I was like, oh man, these guys are kind of good. Like sometimes you see people, or like actors. There's actors I don't like. Know all their movies, but I'm like, God, this guy's great on
it. You like him in SNL?
Yeah. What's it? Adam Driver.
Yeah, he's great on SNL.
Yeah. This is a little more your guys' time. Happy Days.
Yeah, at the time. Well, hell, we have the term jump the shark.
Essentially American Graffiti.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the term jump the shark.
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
I mean, from a family perspective? It was on when I was a kid, but even as a kid, like, I'm not watching
this. It's
like
the Waltons.
Yeah.
Top TV shows to define the American experience. To me, the start of this show just means leave the room.
Not, 60 minutes.
Not 60 minutes.
Oh. MASH.
Yep. All right. Good call. Yep.
I can hear that theme, too.
God, my grandfather loved that show.
My old man did, too.
My wife loves it.
Yeah. I my parents, absolutely. My dad loved it.
I wonder if I went back and watched it now, if it would be funnier to me than when I was a kid.
You'd appreciate it more because what they're joking. So I didn't realize as a kid the whole thing. My wife goes on about it. So about 3 years ago, there's a repeat, and I'm watching it with her, and I'm like, okay, I get it now. It's not that it's supposed to be funny, but it's just that these guys are in such a horrible, horrible situation. All of them drafted, right? So none of them volunteered to be there. They don't want to be there. So the jokes they crack, they're just using humor to deal with these really atrocious things going on. And right. But I could appreciate it as an adult. Like, right, if they're not telling jokes, they're going to go crazy. And that's legitimately at the heart of what the show is.
Hey, look, to this day, honestly, isn't it called the Forgotten War?
Yeah, Korean
like,
War.
It's crazy to me. Like, we just don't talk about it.
Nope.
You know?
Not that exciting to talk about.
Sesame Street.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, yeah.
Jeopardy.
Yeah, interesting. It's hosted most of the time by a Canadian, but
Well, it's an American show.
Yes, it is.
He didn't make it. No. He had to come down here so he could be on it.
Yeah, that's right. We're speaking of the dead.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, Alex. You're a legend. TV shows define American experience. This one's kind of tough, as it didn't. It was never here. It wasn't even on Earth.
Star Trek. Yeah.
Next on the list, The Tonight Show. And then you got to hop in the Wayback Machine. I Love Lucy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Ed Sullivan Show.
I have no idea.
I mean, I Love Lucy. I remember watching repeats. And it still holds up. Like, it is still funny to this day. Ed Sullivan, I don't know if I can get through, but.
But I feel like he dropped so many pop culture icons of the other day.
And he was the uncoolest guy in the world.
No kidding.
And so I think, like, he's one of those guys, like, I don't know the band you're about to see. I don't know why you kids like this, but.
Why are the ghosts?
Here they are.
No, the who.
Weren't they something?
But I Love Lucy. I'm with Mike on that. Like, I remember as a kid thinking that was just the funniest show.
It's still funny,
on
man.
TV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I feel like Lucy. That. The Carol Burnett Show. My kids.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing some kind of, honor for Carol Burnett, I don't know, like 5 years ago. Kids had never heard of her, but they were showing a bunch of the sketches from the show. And both of my kids are like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV. I'm like, yeah, because it was.
Sketch comedy has really kind of lost itself.
It has.
Well, live, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why SNL seems to work.
SNL's really the only one that's keeping it alive.
Everybody but a lot of that's just shows. Hollywood.
You know,
it's
Keaton,
there.
It is Hollywood, but I mean, like, look, right? Like, I love Drewski, right? He just hosted the BET Awards. But I mean, he started out just making skits.
Yeah.
On the internet, right? And I think a lot of that, if you're going to see skits anymore, that's probably where it is. But then also, some of those guys, some of those groups of people kind of cross into the pranks. We're like, the pranks to
pranks
me.
Are different.
Well, even though it's a little more crude, I would even say the Chappelle Show.
Chappelle Show.
Great skit.
But it was a great skit.
Key and Peele.
Great skit. Seattle has some good groups out there, man. As far as doing improv and just doing skit. Like, to this day, if you want to see good sketch comedy, you almost have to go to a live performance.
Yeah.
It's just not on TV so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and shout out, you know, to Almost Live for years that was out here in Seattle.
Exactly.
Very, very rare for any market to have their own SNL.
Yeah.
And do it well. Right? That's the difference, right?
I mean, that show was
Second
great.
City, maybe, but that's it.
I haven't checked. I know for our Mexican friends, they're supposed to be playing Ecuador, kick it off here in a little bit. But last I saw, there was some thunderstorms, and it was dumping rain down in Mexico City. So that might be a little bit delayed.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A Mexican Batman tapes motorcycle thieves to street poles all around town. Batman. We head to Thailand, where 100 escape monkeys are now roaming around. A gang from Venezuela steals $500,000 from Connecticut ATMs. How could you have... How could having brain cancer get any more grim? It can. And today's rescued animal is a boa constrictor hanging out at a pool in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
All right, top story. We go to Spain, where good news comes with bad news. A 60-year-old man went to the doctor with worsening headaches and subtle behavior changes, and they took a CT scan to figure out what was going on.
Unfortunately, the scan suggested that he had metastatic brain tumors, and they immediately started him on steroids commonly used to ease cancer-related brain swelling, which did improve his symptoms. But as they continued scans, they couldn't find any primary cancer in his brain, leading them to take an MRI, which found the issue. Cysts from the pork tapeworm that was lodged in his brain. In his brain.
How much pork was eaten?
I don't know.
All right. I want to know the pork limit.
After being diagnosed with parasitic brain infection, he was started on anti-parasitic drugs and tapered off the steroids without complications, and eventually he was okay. So they're saying the tapeworm that he had, it was not native to the area that he was in.
Right.
So he wonders if he was on some sort of construction site with migrant workers or something like that and ended up eating something of theirs or coming in contact in a way that got it into his freaking brain. I don't know, but he got a pork tapeworm.
I mean, look, it's better news.
Yes.
But it skeeves you out more.
And they did talk about how they're going to start changing procedures to where it's like, let's start scanning for brain worms. I know.
Name that bill after him.
What's better? I mean, obviously, it's better than cancer, right?
Right.
I mean, I would think.
It's definitely better because they can. Here's the thing. You can kill the worms.
Right.
The cancer we're still trying to work on. But as far as your gross factor, you're kind of like, oh my God, get these things out of my head.
Right. It's not near as devastating. It is something that can be fixed. You're skeeved out.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got parasites on us at any given point in time. It's just the way that it is.
But if they say it's in your brain, and that's why your head hurts.
Like, right. There's a creepy crawly in your doggone brain. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That skeeves me out.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my brother explained what tapeworms were.
Yeah.
I had no idea, you know, until he explained it. And, man, I'm telling you, every time a meal was put in front of me, all I could think is, oh God, I'm going to get a tapeworm. Yeah. The idea of that still bugs me, just not as much.
You get something that's a little bit too stringy that wasn't supposed to be stringy.
Yeah. I got a tapeworm.
Damn it.
The one guy we talked about years ago that got it because he was eating salmon nigiri every day or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so depressing to me that he liked any food that much to eat every day.
All the time. And he ate himself into that.
And I feel like is fish one of those that actually, if you're not careful, fish has quite the propensity to have parasites of some kind.
They live in the ocean.
Right.
I told you, we had a swordfish. I worked at a seafood restaurant. Is a swordfish special. Was not normally on the menu. But when we got it in, we had to fillet it. And then they're almost like cobalt blue. They look like grubs, kind of.
Okay.
Mm. They were, and like I said, these are not like teeny tiny microscopic parasitic worms. These things are not quite, they're maybe half the length of an earthworm. Ugh. And when you cut this thing open, like I said, they are bright blue. And they're just in the flesh of the fish. And we were prepared to throw it out. And the chef's like, no, man. You basically take tweezers, you pull them out. So on one part of your cutting board is this pile of these blue worms. I cannot tell you how disconcerting it was. And I won't eat swordfish for that. I'm sure they pulled the worms out. I have no doubt. But I'm like, I'm just not doing it.
I've only had
it
once.
Are you looking at it?
Looking for, something that looks like it, I guess.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you yank those things out. And then you cooked it and served it to people. And I felt bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like I said, they're not small.
No.
Like, Jesus.
That's horrific.
Uh-huh.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
We go to Connecticut, where a major theft operation has been busted. Four men have been taken into custody by authorities after they were identified as the suspects who stole more than $500,000 on a stretch of road between Darien and New Haven over the course of 2 weeks. They reportedly used hardware and malware to use jackpotting tactics on the ATMs, causing them to spit money like a slot machine, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They allegedly targeted 8 different locations and attempted a 9th, but luckily a software security patch prevented the crime from happening. They are all facing some serious charges. And they use cameras, they use phones and all that to track them all down and to figure that out. But the fact that these guys were able to get away with $500,000,
that's
a lot of cash.
That's getting it done. And
they ship the money out, so they can't get it back.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, nothing we can do about it. Turn these things into doggone jackpot machines.
I mean, if I could, I would.
Right? Yeah. Figure out whoever figured that out.
Right.
See what we can do as far as, you know, something productive.
Wish I could do that.
Yeah. Freaky story out of Thailand. Not that one, though. Authorities announced that authorities are in the process of capturing 100 monkeys that broke out of their enclosure. A couple years ago, in an attempt to reduce the number of violent encounters with the wild monkeys in the area in search of food, leadership ordered the rounding up and holding of more than 2,500 monkeys in the area that were all kept in several different enclosures. Now, of these that escaped, it's been reported that staff managed to keep more than 1,000 others from following suit and making the situation worse.
The enclosure was repaired, and plans are being made to build a more secure double-layer enclosure for the monkeys as authorities continue their efforts to round them all back up.
They're not going to get them all.
No, they're not.
Come on. Well, no. Yeah, you already had them all in there. I could have made one more phone call to Pet Solutions. It wouldn't be a problem.
Too late now.
They'd have been gone.
They had hired us.
Right.
Wouldn't have violent monkey attacks.
And is that one of those areas where, like, the monkeys kind of run the streets out there?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
Yes, like, absolutely. That's why they put them in the thing.
Steal stuff from tourists and everything else.
You ever seen a wild monkey in Seattle?
No, sir.
You can thank Pet Solutions.
Thank you, Pet Solutions.
You're welcome.
Taking care of it. Not exactly pets, but you know what? There's a solution for it.
See, it's wild people.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No kidding.
Sometimes we go by caged animal solutions.
Oh, damn.
You got an animal in a cage? You don't need an animal in a cage? Right. We'll take care of it.
You want your cage to be open again?
Oh, you caught one. You want to catch another one? Right. Skin that one. I'll give you another one. We talked about it during one of the breaks. I don't know if there's much creepy. What could be loose in your doggone neighborhood than monkeys just hiding in the trees somewhere that are angry?
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want it. We go to Pittsburgh, where someone found an unwanted guest in their backyard. A local resident felt the need to call authorities after they went out back to sea. An albino boa constrictor lazily lounging on their raised pool deck. Animal care and control was called, and the snake was relocated to the local human animal rescue, where it's receiving proper care. Officials say that while it's legal to own such a reptile in the state, owners are responsible for ensuring their pets are safely contained.
Could you just put that up on a local Facebook page? Somebody would be there in 2 hours to pick the damn thing up.
You'd think, but they got out once. I don't want them in charge of it anymore.
That's the tough thing with a snake. It's like, did they just dump it, or did it just escape?
Did it escape? Right.
It
I don't
can
know.
Be either or. It's the thing with snakes. It seems like sometimes they just escape. Other times they get big enough for people to just let it go.
You'd be
wild.
Surprised the small slit that they can slide through.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet that's true. I will bet that's true. But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to Mexico, where the people take matters into their own hands. A few weeks back, authorities were alerted to an unknown individual that was found duct taped to a lamppost. This is such a great story. Yeah. They arrived on the scene and found their victim, which came complete with the word thief written on their forehead.
Damn.
And an alleged stolen motorcycle was found nearby. Since that time, police have discovered 4 more alleged thieves, all duct taped to lampposts. And they're like full blown. Like they blew 2 or 3 rolls of duct tape on this, tape their mouths shut, blindfolds over their eyes. Like, these guys are stuck. Let's see here. Locals are wondering whether this is the work of one lone vigilante or a collection of people who are all fed up with the slow-acting law.
Well, these people who are taped to poles will be able to tell them that when they talk to them.
Yes.
Was it one dude, or was it like a gang of 5 guys?
The alleged thieves are being treated as victims currently until the investigation concludes, and they've reminded folks that nobody should take the law into their own hands regardless of their motives.
They're going to keep doing it.
Of course they're going to keep doing it.
If you're too slow, if people are getting their stuff stolen and you're not taking care of the problem, the people will take care of the problem.
Yeah, they duct tape.
Right. If you want to have control of the situation,
just duct tape his ass to a pole or a tree.
Yeah, right.
Thief.
If you want to control the situation, control the damn situation.
And they are.
Men's Room Sports, you got more World Cup coverage over on Fox and Baseball and CBS and True TV. We've also got Game 2 between the Mariners and the Angels about to begin over on Mariners TV. As far as your weather, it's going to be an exact copy of today there, guys. It's going to cool down to cloudy with a low of 53 tonight. Tomorrow's going to be overcast and 66, just like it was today. That's it for headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thanks, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the return of Who Sucks Less. The lovely Jolene is up in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.